Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, shocker, Days of Our Lives is moving to Peacock beginning September 12th. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Mike Jubonville. We haven't had you on for a while. Welcome back.
I appreciate that, but I'm still stuck on Shocker and Cock. Did you say Peacock and Shocker at the same time?
I said Peacock, Cock.
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm in the gutter. Sorry, Jillian. You're not ready for this yet.
Okay, so the reason why we're doing this special midweek episode is because of the big announcement that was broke by Vulture, which is that NBC's Days of Our Lives will be jumping from NBC broadcast channel to NBC Universal's streaming platform Peacock beginning September 12th. It's going to be replaced on NBC by NBC News Daily. What we also know, of course, which we learned last year, was that Days of Our Lives was renewed in 2021 through 2023, so we're sort of mid their contract. This jump is being made. NBCU chairman Mark Lazarus said, "This programming shift benefits both Peacock and NBC and is reflective of our broader strategy to utilize our portfolio to maximize reach and strengthen engagement with viewers. With a large percentage of the Days of Our Lives audience already watching digitally, this move enables us to build the show's loyal fan base on streaming while simultaneously bolstering the network's daytime offerings with an urgent live programming opportunity for partners and consumers." That's what we know officially, because one day in, there isn't a lot of official word. Jillian, what is your quick reaction to this news?
My quick reaction was WTF, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I was like, what the hell? That was my quick reaction.
Josh, how about you?
My quick reaction was, I wasn't surprised it went to Peacock. I just was surprised there was a quick announcement this fast, this soon before season 58 starts. That was my quick reaction.
Mike, how about you?
My quick reaction was, I'm not surprised. However, it was a little earlier than I anticipated.
I am sort of with Mike on this. I was like, okay, and to provide background context for listeners who may just be, who don't necessarily follow Days of Our Lives, Days of Our Lives has had Beyond Salem, two seasons of Beyond Salem. They've had a holiday special. Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem was nominated for Emmys this past year. Days of Our Lives won Outstanding Writing. So Days of Our Lives as a franchise, creatively speaking, has been pretty strong. And so I have sort of wondered, okay, they're doing so well, what will Universal do? Because normally with the contract renewals, we'll get a 1 or 2 year renewal when it comes time for NBC Universal and Sony and Corday to negotiate the licensing rights. And so I think that it's a little sooner than expected, but I don't think it's surprising from a big picture network executive standpoint. One of the things that we should also provide some context for, if you're not familiar with Peacock, it is one of the streaming platforms. It houses pretty much the majority of NBC Universal's content. Some of it can be found, like they have some live channels, they have their own content, and they, like the other streaming platforms, license some things out. But amongst them, if you watch CNBC, if you look at the subscriber numbers, Peacock is the smallest of all of the networks, and they don't have the vault of content that the other networks do. So from a strategic standpoint, this might be something that our executives are like, okay, how do we get our daily viewers in? Jillian, how do you think this will play out creatively for Days of Our Lives with the jump?
I don't know. Like when I told you, y'all are all, oh, we knew it was coming. Y'all bitches did.
No, I didn't expect it this soon.
In the context of life, I knew it was coming.
I honestly do not know now. Like I said, I'm still trying to. Nobody knew. Anybody who said that they knew, use a lie, because nobody knew. Nobody knew. Like, I will say this. I will say maybe we had little hints that this was coming. The only reason why I say that is because, you know, with the January 6th committee and stuff, ABC preempt, next day GH, CBS preempt, next day Bold, next day YNR, NBC go watch it on Peacock. You know what I'm saying? And like everybody would preempt that, but creatively, I do not know, because you know you have a lot of factors into play here. Like with creatively, we're gonna talk about actors. They have SAG-AFTRA. Their contracts are for television. What does this mean now? Are their contracts up in the air, or do they like, you know, what are they negotiating? Did the actors know? And they've been low-key negotiating. The writers, they have television contracts. So what's going to happen there? You know what I'm saying? The unions, this is just like their contracts are for TV and now they're going to streaming. So the creativity is very, you know, I don't know. But the plus side of this is that Days, we joke that Days writes 12 years and a partridge in a pear tree in advance. Like, I'm based on their timeline, I think they are like, I think
they're
probably
close
have
to Christmas,
something.
I would think by now.
I would think further than Christmas.
They're shooting January right now.
I would say, I think, yeah, I would think that they're further along. So they have some time to like work shit out. Like if they have a breakdown with the actors, with their contracts, or, you know, renegotiating contracts, or the writers, or the producers, directors, and stuff, they have a lot of stuff shot in the can. Creatively wise, I guess, you know, let's just say, you know, everything goes, and you know, in the words of Kathy Hilton, I stan you, girl, but in the words of Kathy Hilton, everything is hunky-dory. Creatively, I mean I look at it like this. Like Peacock seem really invested in Days, as you brought up earlier, the Christmas show, the spin-offs. You know, I think, you know, they seem invested in that. I would think that they have a bigger budget now. Peacock has Peacock money because they need content for their streaming app. I'm not saying they're going to back a Brinks truck up or the golden years, you know, money that Days used to, like, you know, Scrooge McDuckett in. But I would say, you know, they'll probably bring a little red wagon with a little, you know, coin here and there.
What I was wondering is, because the Vulture article pointed out that, like I mentioned earlier, we're in the midst of a 2-year contract.
Yep.
And that 2-year contract, if they're able to figure out all the SAG and those type of elements to it, sort of allows them a free year to figure out the kinks of running a 52-week soap on a streaming platform, well, under the existing contract. So if they're
maybe that was already part of the contract.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. If that had been the case, that would have been one of those things where it would have made some big industry news, like Deadline.
Yeah.
That type of a clause in a contract would have made some big industry news.
Yeah,
I don't think that happened.
No.
But
it's a possibility that I was throwing out there.
But
be throwing back out to you that it was. We're not downplaying it, but like Luke said, this would have made some serious news. Deadline and Variety and the Hollywood Reporter and the Mother Gals would have been like, "And this covers streaming," but nothing
well,
like
because
that, you know?
Because SAG is going after Netflix right now for other things.
Yeah.
I mean, SAG and the Writers Guilds, if those contracts aren't being honored, they will go after you. So if there was some sort of deal that was making this so that Peacock was including with NBC other than like the next day streaming, that would be a whole different thing, but what my thought was is, we saw what we've got with Beyond Salem with the budgets. and how those have been wonderful budgets for those limited events. And we know it, that Days has been on a shoestring. So depending on how the contracts play out...
They're going to have the whole shoe now, girl.
Well, they are going to have the whole shoe, but my question is NBC Universal looking at the opportunity to put Days on Peacock on a still on a shoestring like it's been on NBC, or are they going to figure out a way whenever the next renewal comes up to provide them additional money? And that's a question that we probably will not know for some time, just because we're going to have to make this jump, and then we're going to have to see how that plays out, and then we'll have to see how the contract renewals go. So there's a lot of elements that will just not be known for another good 6 months. Josh, I'm going to have you play imaginary executive producer, Josh. If you were Corday and Sony, what would you be doing to make this as appealing as possible for a renewal after 2023?
I would lean in to Beyond Salem and A Very Salem Christmas, particularly the edgier content that they put on Beyond Salem. You know, even what seems very simple, like Hope saying this is bullshit, or I think Victoria Konefall's Sierra said bullshit or something like that.
Yeah,
it seems simple, but those sort of things, which are natural reactions for human beings in real life, it was really kind of refreshing to hear. So I would lean into that.
I would lean into that, and I would also not lean into what Prospect Park did.
No.
I would look at that and...
That was 100 years ago.
I feel like anybody who's trying to compare this to Prospect Park is not taking context and a decade's worth of time.
Now, what I'm saying is like how Prospect Park, when he talks about bullshit, right? That's what my blood said. Prospect Park didn't lean and ease into that. You had Jesse talking about fuck it, and you're like, Jesse, you know, and you're like, what the hell? Like, and you know, Ma and Pa Kettle out in Huckamuck, Mississippi were not here for that shit. So I'm just saying, like, use that as a template and stuff. And also, you know, like you said, think times have changed. So, but also use that as a cautionary tale as well.
No, I agree with you. I think that the original idea of Prospect Park and All My Children, One Life to Live was a good one. But the online network, or Tolan as it was, they made this broad statement that said, oh, they're going, originally, if you remember, they said, we're going to start these on the Monday after they're canceled. So they just continue. But of course, that wasn't a thing. Peacock is an established thing. Days, tapes, 6 to 7 months in advance. There are 6 to 7 months of episodes in the can. It will start on Monday, September 12th or 13th, whatever it was.
But the other part of it was that ABC canceled those two soaps and Prospect Park decided to pick them up. This is a different scenario.
Yeah, this is a different...
NBC is just shifting their venue from live TV over to streaming. For all the people out there, it's not canceled. NBC did not cancel this show. They
and that's
moved
true.
It
there
to...
have been people on social media who've been making it sound like this is the Days of Our Lives
it's
cancellation.
It's not the end of the
road.
Yeah,
but they're singing the end of the road for Boys to Men. I'm like, shut up, it ain't.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to make. I just, the only two things I wanted to bring up was Drake Hogeston was on Bradford Anderson and Steve Burton's podcast, and it was recent. It was the last episode that they put out. So it was within the last week, but it was before the announcement. And Drake basically said, hey, we're going to end up on Peacock at some point, you know, whether it's this year or next year. And he was kind of like, you know what, it's kind of okay. Whatever happens, happens. It's all good. And Steve Burton and Bradford Anderson kind of backed him up on the, you know what, things are moving towards streaming, whatever. But it was one of those things that made me think maybe folks, it clearly Drake said, because he said whether it's this year or next year, he didn't know, or he chose not to say whatever is either way. But they kind of clearly made me think they knew this was coming. And then if you go back and listen, Ron Carlovati gave an interview with Michael Fairman talking about Beyond Salem 2. And he talked about how popular or how good Beyond Salem 1 was. And he said the network immediately got with him and said, hey, we want a Beyond Salem 2. We want it now. And they negotiated for the Christmas special because they didn't think they could put the second part of Beyond Salem out so quickly. And it made me think when I put that and Drake's interview together that people want to say, oh, they're putting days off to Peacock to just end it, where these interviews and other things that we've read make me think they were testing something with Peacock, with Beyond Salem 1, Beyond Salem 2, A Very Salem Christmas. And it seems to have worked. And they're not just putting days on the free part of Peacock. They're putting it on the premium part of Peacock, which means that they think that, in my head, that they think
they're
going
to convert dollars.
That they're going to convert dollars. And going to your original question, Luke, the content on the premium part of Peacock can be edgier. They can tell.
And that's the
thing. Where I'm going.
Like, it's entirely possible that this might be the best thing that ever happened to Days of Our Lives.
I agree with you.
From a creative, like,
I do not want to see Maggie Horton Kiriakis dropping and popping for Victor.
None of us want to see that, and none of us want to see Maggie drop the F bomb. None of us want to see that either.
You said
here's what I would say. I think that creatively speaking, with your young adult storylines, with your middle age storylines, there is an opportunity to reflect life more realistically than is normal on broadcast television soaps that air sometime between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. in the afternoon. From a creative standpoint, there is no person better, in my opinion, to be able to usher a soap through this type of a transition successfully as Ron.
Preach it. I agree
because,
with you.
Because they don't have nurses ball
listen,
undies on.
Listen, you can say a lot about Ron. I know that I have said things over the years, but the fact of the matter is
over
that
the days.
Has a very brilliant creative mind, and he knows how to come up with ideas and concepts that will pull people in and make them want to watch. And now he's going to have more flexibility than the other three soaps.
And that's why I said earlier, don't do what Prospect Park did, because I'm not saying that Ron is going to do that, but I'm saying, like, now that you have the flexibility, do not veer off from what the show is all about, because that was one thing that I'm about to call him Peacock. Tolan did was, oh, now that we're not on network TV, we can have them saying fucking
But they did it just for it was performative when they did it.
Right.
I
would hope that Ronald will ease them on and ease on down that yellow brick road, girl. Like, I don't want on September 12th to see Maggie, like, you know.
Well, you're not going
to
see that on September 12th because they're already shot 6 months in advance. You might see that in January.
Can I make a point?
I don't want to see some shit. Like,
can I make a point?
Go ahead, Mike.
Josh and I watched it on Peacock every day. I don't think it's going to change that much. I don't really think that all the stuff that you're concerned about is going to be that different. However,
every day,
hold up.
You're watching something that was on broadcast. That's different. So,
okay. Yes. I do understand that things may change, but that's okay. Evolution in life is not a bad thing. Change is good.
Are you really trying to be a deep thing? Listen to you. Ain't nobody saying nothing's wrong with change.
Don't think this is a bad thing.
So
I
you
don't.
So,
and
okay.
I actually think with Sony is going to be watching this to see if CBS could do the same thing. I don't think this is something that is not something that anyone had never thought of before.
If I can help clarify, I think that the issue is we don't want them to come on and just suddenly have fuck, shit, damn, and all breasts and yada yada. But when it makes sense for the story, for there to be somebody who says, what the fuck, or somebody to say bullshit, or then that is the edgy content that I think we can get, because what we don't get on network TV is that natural reaction. And I've said this before on this podcast, but there was a moment, and it was 20 years ago, 20, maybe 30 years ago, actually, when original Wayne Northrop as Roman came back, and John was confronted with the fact that he wasn't Roman and he was John, and he freaked out. And Drake Hogestyn, as an actor on the show, because I watched this live, said, this is bullshit. And they kept it in, but they bleeped it. And it was one of those moments, and it was one of the, this was like 30 years ago. I remember looking at the screen and hearing, this is bleep. And they didn't bleep it like a bleep noise, but they just cut it where it was silent. And I thought that was a natural reaction.
Okay, see,
this is something we can get.
Yes,
this is something we could get on Peacock, which is a natural reaction.
I think that there's opportunities for something like that to happen. And the way I would put that is, let's use the recent introduction of Alexander as an example. Here is a character that we haven't seen in a very long time. He's come in.
Since he's been a kid. Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is, we haven't seen him in a very long time. He comes in, he gets the classic shirtless introduction that a lot of male soap actors on Days get. And then we start getting all the family reactions. It would be very easy going forward if, when you have a character like Alexander being reintroduced who people aren't familiar with, to have them be the type of character that might drop a swear word here or there, and then you can literally have Maggie clutch her pearls at the sound of it and be like, not in my household, you don't. And then if he ever uses it again, it has to be outside the house.
There's
ways to do it with a character introduction with, say, like Alexander, where it can seem natural, where if he dropped the F-bomb in front of Maggie, Maggie would be like, you do not swear in my house.
Exactly.
Then the next time we hear him say it, it's in Salem Square. And
nobody has a problem with evolution here, Miguel. I am just saying, Prospect Park, you can tell they did it to be like, oh my God, like when it wasn't necessary.
Like that random blowjob that Kelly McCall.
In my mind, this does not have any true parallel to Prospect Park. And here's the other reason why. Prospect Park as an entity,
I agree with
did
you on this
not
one too.
Actually understand the concept and fundamentals of soaps. What's happening with Days of Our Lives and Corday Productions is that Corday Productions and Sony understand soaps. They've got their fingers in 2.5 of them.
Like a Peacock exec.
Right.
That makes
what I am saying is, we have a writing team that understands soaps. We have a production company that is not trying to do this all from the beginning. They're not having to recreate sets. They're not having to go through casting negotiations the same way that TOLN had to get everybody back who, if they wanted big characters for their soaps.
I mean, they will have to.
Well, right, but that will be through the natural renegotiation of contracts as people's contracts come up.
Their contracts are for TV. Their contracts isn't for streaming.
It does make sense, though, about the shoring up of the contract folks and the sort of sending away of the recurring people. That seems to make some sense now.
Josh, I agree with you, but I also think that this turnover in the young adult cast that we've been seeing with the introduction of characters in Beyond Salem 2, it would not surprise me. And once again, I do not know this, but I'm just saying, it would not surprise me if NBC Universal and Corday Productions, as they're introducing these younger characters, has been doing deals where it's with NBC Universal as opposed to NBC. Sort of the same way that the CW was signing actors on the Arrowverse shows to network contracts instead of show contracts. So it would not surprise me if that has already begun with the younger actors and would continue to take place with the established actors. Now, once again, I'm not saying that that's what's happened. I'm saying it would not surprise me if it has.
It seems logical, though.
Prospect Park and ABC is different than this situation. NBC is just taking days from a platform to a different one. And everything is still the same. And we are many years ahead of where we were on streaming. And I feel like this is not a bad thing.
Okay, let me just clarify the prospect. Y'all keep sticking to Prospect. I'm just using that as an example. All I'm saying is I'm using Prospect Park as the template. Let me just say it this way. If just because you're on streaming, don't move away from the core values. Don't move away from what made you a soap opera, what made you a hit, is all I'm saying.
I think that what is happening in this conversation is what is happening online. And that is, people are blurring the difference between the creative side of Prospect Park and the production part of Prospect Park. There is absolutely zero parallel between the production side of Prospect Park and All My Children and One Life to Live and what is happening with Peacock and Days of Our Lives. On the creative side, what Jillian is talking about is saying, okay, we need to make sure that we learn from the mistakes that Prospect Park made creatively by just coming in here and trying to be edgy when that's not what the viewers are looking for in the context that Prospect Park offered it, and make sure that whatever changes you make at Days of Our Lives creatively, because you're now able to, just because you're able to do something doesn't mean you need to do something.
That's all I'm saying.
I think that the discussion here is a good example of what's happening online, because I opened up my Twitter after this, and all I saw was Prospect Park, Prospect Park, Prospect Park.
Seriously.
And in my head, I'm like, these two are not even remotely related.
I saw a lot of negativity, and I don't really think it's negative.
Here's the thing. People don't like change. People don't like getting out of their comfort zone. I still watch it on my DVR because it's easier for me to fast forward through commercials on my DVR than it is to watch on Peacock. And so when people don't like change, their immediate reaction, all the keyboard warriors go out on Twitter and Facebook and they just start reacting and drawing comparisons that do not align with what happened back then and what is happening now. Nothing about this is like Prospect Park. Nothing about this is like Passions.
Not even sort of.
It's not even remotely close.
It's apples and oranges.
I've literally been on this podcast for as long as it was. We used to talk about Passions on this podcast before it jumped to DirecTV. There is no correlation between Passions jumping from NBC to DirecTV and this in the context of the environment that we live in today. The streaming platforms did not exist. Streaming deals with SAG and AFTRA and all the other organizations did not exist. People did not have web-enabled TVs with apps that they can just click one button and Peacock is up and they can find it. They did not have Wi-Fi connections that did. I mean, this podcast has been going for 16 years. And in that time, a shitload of stuff has changed. For anybody online who's a keyboard warrior who's saying, oh, this is terrible because look at this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, it
doesn't. And as Jillian brought up earlier,
if you have a telephone, a phone, an iPhone, a Google phone, whatever, and you have a tablet, you can watch it anywhere. I don't think when people say that you are too old to watch something, it's not too old. You can just fucking do it.
I just feel as though now, like, the timeline is
I think it's going to work.
I feel as though right about now, they need to be rolling out ads. You know, if you want to keep those viewers, the older viewers, you want to keep eyeballs, because I know they're probably going to go young, too. They're probably going to go for that younger. But if you want to keep, you know, I don't understand why Madison Avenue don't think old people spend money. I'm like, where you think these young bucks getting the money
Thank
from?
Thank you.
Shit, yeah. I'm the old folks. Anyways.
You're right, Jillian. They need to have Deidre Hall, a shirtless Robert Scott Wilson, shirtless Paul Telfer in ads saying, come to Days of Our Lives.
Now, listen to you, you fresh heifer.
another part of it is that if you subscribe to Peacock, you'll get all of their content, not just Days of Our Lives. So for $5, you get everything that was that was taken off the network TV before, which was prime time or whatever, and you get to watch it, all of it, every season of it.
This is the time, like I was trying to say, this is the time now. Yeah. Like, I think they have like a month. They have literally a month and some change, and NBC need to like throw money at advertising. Like, you need to put it in like these women's magazines. We need to have Jackie like you know, going to like, you know, Jackie and Deidre. Well, definitely Jackie.
Yes.
I don't think Deidre Hall would do it. Yep. But definitely Jackie needs to pay him, like, she and
not for nothing, but they also need to pull ads on any Hallmark production that's
right. Like Jackie needs to go on. Right. No. Jackie needs to go on Watch What Happens Live again. I was gonna say Hall.
Say it.
Regina King, sorry, but I don't think Regina ready for that now. But they need to go back on Watch What Happens Live. Real ones know what I mean about that. Jackie, that's like the most memorable appearance
ever.
Amazing. Jackie needs to go on there with Deidre Hall, and they need to promote the hell out of.
And Andy loves soap opera.
Synergy.
He does.
That synergy right there.
I want to take a moment before we, before I go to everyone's final thoughts, and let's just take a look at the timeline. First thing we know, Days of Our Lives films 6 months in advance. Based on the earlier discussion, they're already filming January content, which means that on September 12th, which is basically a month away, we will be we will be filming in February already. So between now and September 12th, if we're wanting to see what NBC Universal is going to put its money where its mouth is, then the advertising campaigns that, and cross promotions that you are discussing, let's hope that we see them. Then, if the new content starts out sometime in late January, early February, then we're going to get to begin to see the first signs of what the creative team is doing on this new platform. Sometime in 2023, the contract renewal will be up, which is a little under a year from now, which means that at the same time that the team is writing all of this, negotiations are going to have to be taking place for the renewal of the show beyond the season. And we basically have 6 months between now and then to see how this performs as they're going into negotiations for 2023. And that basically will bring us to about a year from now. And it's really going to come down to whether or not NBC Universal is going to put their money where their mouth is and promote this and go balls to the wall to try and use it as a way to get viewers, or if they don't, and we'll see.
I'm going to be hopeful. You know, people accuse us of being Debbie Downers. I'm going to be hopeful. I mean, Peacock has original content, but they don't have a lot of original content like HBO Max. Well, shit, HBO Max ain't got original content no more. They just shit it all over their hay on Discovery. But, you know, the best they really do, like, since they've made this decision, I am hopeful that they, like, they made the decision and then, like, you know, you open up not just Soap Opera Digest, but you open up, you know, Women's Home Journal, Good Housekeeping. I want to see them everywhere, you know, make a commercial about it to, like, you know, make a little video to show people how to sign this up. I would hope, we keep saying NBC Universal, you know, they are owned by who, kids? They are owned by Comcast. I would hope that Comcast makes a little, you know, they throw some money too and say, okay, y'all, this is how you do it here. This, you know, they have a little video for Mom, Pa, Kettle out in Nebraska somewhere. You know, this is how you do it. This is how you log on. Like, they need to, I'm hopeful they do that. I'm hopeful, and, you know, I feel as though this is a good thing. And, you know, all eyes are on this right about now because, you know, I know CBS is probably looking, you know, and, yes. And, you know, I don't know, you know, which one is going to be looking, Hulu or Disney. They're the same place, but they're the same place, but they got identity crisis over there. Oh, well, I do know this. I know that Hulu does,
GH does tremendously well on Hulu.
Well, so. and that was the thing that I wanted to, and I'm going to use this sort of as the wrap up before we go to final thoughts. What I think this bodes for the industry is that creatively, it's going to give people an opportunity to see what a soap opera can do without the restrictions of broadcast. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I think this has the potential to shake up the ratings. And the reason why I say that is General Hospital now, in a lot of markets, not all, but many markets, will not have a direct time slot competitor. So The Young and the Restless has not had a direct time slot competitor. I've never lived anywhere where it has been. I've never heard of anybody who says there's a soap opera opposite of The Young and the Restless. I think that this has a potential to help General Hospital because it will no longer have a time slot competitor. Because right, when you're watching something on Peacock, you can watch it at any time of day. You don't have to watch it at a specific time.
But they might release it at 5 o'clock in the morning instead of
which is gonna
1 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't know when it's going to come out. They can put this out whenever they want to.
They could put it up against and one. I'm gonna call them one like Jesus. They could be badass and put it up against Y&R and be like, boom. They could put it up against, you know, so they do have that flexibility. I'm rooting for them. I do want to see if this is with the shift to Peacock. I do want to see if they're going to keep the 52 weeks model or they're going to go on hiatus. I want to see how that is going to be done. Like,
I'm
you
with
know
you on
mean?
That.
Well, not only that, but think about this. This will mean that there's no excuse for Wimbledon. There's no excuse for the Olympics. In theory, on this app, they can do the 52 weeks. And because that's been one of the things that has hurt days in the past. They like the last time that happened with the Olympics, they didn't even get a warning.
That's true.
And so like they can do this 52 weeks and it's going to be on a streaming platform. It can be available at any time, regardless of any sports event or breaking
news.
Okay,
now I'm not talking about the interruptions. I'm meaning, are they going to keep that same business model that they have for
5 days, an hour?
Right.
Days has been online on Peacock when news has been breaking over NBC. So this is definitely a benefit for that. There's no interruption of broadcasting.
And that's true. And that's been helpful. I think even during times when President Biden or whomever have interrupted coverage and Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful and General Hospital are all preempted. Days, this is why it's not quite such a big deal that it's going to Peacock, because Days has aired on Peacock when
yeah, I said that earlier. Yeah.
I know.
I'm just curious about the business model also. Like, you know, we kept harping about Prospect. I was just using that as an example. I want to see, like, are they going to keep it five? Like, are they going to still keep that momentum of it being 5 days a week? Like, I'm curious to see how they're going to do that. And since Peacock has a little bit more money, like, how's this all going to play out? Like, are they going to be Monday, Wednesday? Like, that's what I'm curious. Are they going to keep it still the same 5 days a week? And then, like, I don't know, like, you know, summertime. Like, are they going to be like school, basically? You know, they get a break for Christmas. And, you know, Days is on hiatus for Christmas. Like, you know, we don't see them for Christmas. We see them after the Christmas break. Are they going to go on break for the summer? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to
see
totally. That.
Final thought, Jillian.
My final thought is we should be a positive about this. Things have changed since the last time they tried to do this. Let's just root for it. And, you know, if you got some old people in your lives that still watch, that not still, but that are watching Days and aren't familiar with Peacock, you got some time to tell them how to get on to Peacock. And hopefully Peacock, NBC Universal, Comcast, all of them, Ronnie, Bobby, Mickey, Mike, all of them, they all come together and have a badass ad campaign to get people to transition over, because they go out, scared money don't make money. You get what I'm saying? You will have to spend money to get those eyeballs. You're not, these streaming services in general just can't rely on, oh, well, their fans are so-and-so, so they'll come. No, you got to spend that money to bring them over. So I'm rooting for y'all. And, I feel as though it's going to be good.
Mike, final thought?
I'm on board with this. At first, I thought it was a little alarming. However, this is how, in this household, that we watch this stuff. And I do feel like this is the future. And I'm optimistic about it. If you watch it on a streaming thing, you don't get the commercials, you don't do whatever. But I do feel like if Sony is watching with CBS and, you know, ABC is watching with this, I would not be surprised in the next 5 years to find out that soap operas are actually streaming. It might open a door for maybe bringing back soap operas that weren't around before.
Final thought, Josh?
Yes, this may be a three-parter, but I'll be quick about it. First of all, the same folks online, on social media, that were just screaming and loving Beyond Salem, A Very Salem Christmas, are the very ones who are also like, oh, this is the death knell for days. Well, it can't be both. I mean, yeah. NBC Universal put their money behind Days and gave these specials that ain't none of y'all other soaps got.
Now...
there, to me, while it may seem like a death knell to people, to me, it seems like this may be, Peacock may be the house that Days built, because they got Beyond Salem, they got A Very Salem Christmas, and they didn't just put them on the free thing, they put them on the platform because they think eyeballs going to bring money. So I don't, and the other thing is, I know this is historic, and I know this is a thing that we all love, but maybe it's about damn time that we get out from under the soap opera title. Days is a drama. Like anything else is a drama. Every nighttime drama that we enjoy is built on soap opera. And maybe just the words soap opera don't necessarily... that's a thing that was decades ago as to why we named them soap operas. They're not soaps anymore. They're dramas.
Right.
And so maybe this actually allows them to be dramas. And
somebody who spent the last week watching Pretty Little Liars.
That's true.
Yes, exactly.
I've continuously told Michael this Pretty Little Liars is a soap opera, but we call it a drama. That's what Days is. It's what GH is. It's what Bold is. What YNR is. And we don't like change, as Luke said earlier. We don't like all of that stuff. But this, if the choice is to not have our dramas or to have them on a streaming platform, we want them on a streaming platform. So support it. Lean into it. This is the way it's going to happen. All of them are going to go this direction at some point. Just lean into it. It's a good thing. This is not Tolan. This is a whole different thing.
My final thought is multi-part as well. First of all, I think that what we forget sometimes is that the way things are structured for the local broadcast channels is that these air on the channels, but the networks and the channels have these negotiations where a certain amount of time is allowed for the local channels to sell ads during the political season or whatever. So that's how they make their profits. And then the network gets other funds through licensing to those local channels. If you think about this, this is bringing Days of Our Lives out from the underneath that model,
yep.
putting it on Peacock's proprietary platform, and then in addition to a subscriber fee that you're paying for it, if there are any ads that would also air during it, even if it's limited ads, all of that money is staying in-house at NBC without them having to sacrifice any of the revenue to the local stations. So that's the first thing that I wanted to point out. The second thing is that if Corday and Sony and NBC Universal, based on the success of Beyond Salem 1 and 2 and the Holiday Special, because these two are no longer segmented, where we have Days of Our Lives on a separate budget from the budget that will be on Salem. And I'm talking about when they renegotiate. I'm not talking about current. I'm saying going forward. There's an opportunity for Corday to negotiate, say, annual Beyond Salem and an annual, like, or one or two Christmas specials, and basically treat them like Hallmark movies, but with soap characters. And then, rather than us not be able to use the beautiful sets from Beyond Salem 1 and 2, they could, in theory, because it's all part of the new budget for Days of Our Lives, use those sets, which leads me to number 3. I sincerely hope that with this move to Peacock, the Kiriakis Mansion gets an upgrade, which once again, which once again leads to another cross promotion revenue opportunity. Think about if you had a designer from one of the NBC Universal shows come in and be the redesign person with Maggie, but then you did a tie-in with Pinterest because of all the women who love to scrapboard. And what if you made it a contest where the person who won the Pinterest contest was the unofficial assistant to the designer who was helping Maggie with her redesign? So suddenly you're getting your engagement on a social platform that is primarily targeted at women with a soap that has long had a female dominant audience. And you're doing it all with a cross promotion of a show that, if you were to take one of the redesign shows from Bravo or wherever into Days of Our Lives, you could literally be having an episode for the reality show being recorded as it's being done for Days of Our Lives, and you're getting two episodes on different shows out of the same programming, and you're doing a tie-in with Pinterest. I'm just saying, this is not bad from a standpoint of it means they're going to die. It means that if you have some creative minds in the executive offices, when it comes to renegotiating the upcoming contract, there is a lot of things that could be done, and it doesn't take that much to think these things up.
People are so stuck on the 5-day, this goes back to Jillian too, 5-day-a-week model. I imagine that there are people who loved Guiding Light as the world turns another world who would be so happy to have one episode a week. Please just stop being so stuck in our frameworks of 5 days a week, every week, 52 weeks a year. If it's not sustainable, would you rather have nothing, or would you rather have a better version? You get really cool episodes. And Luke, what you said was kind of amazing. Those kind of crossover things would be kind of really amazingly cool. Like, let's open our minds and re-envision things and just relax for a second.
The crossover potential, once this is all in-house on Peacock, with any of the stuff that airs on Peacock that is done by NBC Universal, is unlimited. What you guys were talking about, Jackie going on with Andy, what is to say you couldn't have her go on there as her character as opposed to, and do some cross-promotion there? I'm just saying the possibilities are endless once everything is under the same platform from a budget standpoint. On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo. Mike is at MPJ24. And Joshua is at Dr. Joshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye, y'all.